Father, we so enjoy being in your presence this morning, and we dedicate this time to you. Lord, we are so excited about what you are doing, what you've done, what you will continue to do, even as Jim shared about stepping out in faith, asking the question, one more time, would I, should I, could I, will you, won't you, don't you? You are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you for this morning and your individual love for each one of us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, this is kind of a small, kind of a home group atmosphere, which is fine by me because I really enjoy being part of a home group. And I thought before I would share a few thoughts, I wanted to put a video up for us. It's 8 minutes long. And I got it in an email this week, and it moved me, so I hope it moves and warms your hearts before we open God's Word, okay? It's only 8 minutes.
Earlier this summer, Green Shoe Studio launched its Singer-Songwriter Contest. It's a contest that someone can upload their video onto YouTube and send us the link. We felt it was a good way that we could really tie into the local community and really get a feel for the music that's going on around us. But we didn't quite expect an entry like Fred's.
How'd I meet Lorraine? She was a car hop at the NW Root Beer Stand in East Peoria, and she brought the trays to the car. And that was in about 1938. We dated for 2 years, then we married. 26 would have been our 73rd anniversary. She gave me 75 years of her life. Well, she was just prettiest girl I ever saw. Yeah, and she was real timid like, but I just fell in love with her right there. Yeah.
What made Fred's entry so special to us was, well, number one, it's an online singer-songwriter contest. People were supposed to upload their videos, but instead of a video, we received a very large manila envelope titled Green Shoe Studio Singer-Songwriter Contest. Well, I was excited to see what it was and open it up, and lo and behold, it was a letter from a 96-year-old man who said, I've written a song for my wife. He said in the letter that he was not a musician and that he was not actually a very good singer. In fact, on the actual envelope itself, it says, P.S. I don't sing. I would scare people. Ha ha. So it's a letter from this 96-year-old man. He sounds like a sweet guy. But as I'm reading through the letter, I begin to realize that his wife had just passed away a month earlier. And so having known that, I started reading through the song. And he titled it Sweet Lorraine. And listening to the lyrics and the passion behind the lyrics and the letter he sent us, it was so heartwarming.
Well, after she passed away, I was just sitting in the front room one evening by myself, and just come right to me almost. I just kept humming and that, singing it, and that's how it come to write it. It just seemed like it just fit her. Yeah.
Green Shoe Studio decided to take Fred's lyrics and bring them to life. We decided to put them to professional music, professionally recorded. We wanted to have a professional singer sing on this song. You know, our mission here at Green Shoe Studio is to change our community one dream at a time. And what a better way to do it?
Well, I saw Jacob's ad in the paper about the contest that he was going to put on. So I just thought, oh, shoot, I'll just write a letter and send it all in. And never thinking I'd get an answer or something. But then he called one day, and I was surprised.
We decided we were going to do this just by reading the letter without even meeting Fred. So I called him up one day and said, "Fred, we were touched by your story. Now, it didn't meet the criteria of our singer-songwriter contest, but we're going to do something even better for you." I said, "We're going to record your song. We're going to have professionals do this. We're going to have a professional take so that, you know, it's not just lyrics anymore. It's bringing it to life." And he goes, "Oh, that's just so great, but, you know, how much is that going to cost me? I don't have any money." And I said, "Fred, you misunderstand me. We're going to do all this for free." And he began to cry on the phone and say, "Why would you do this for me?" And I told him, I said, "Fred, it's not that we're doing this for you. It's, you know, we're doing this together because music means so much to so many people. And your song touched us. And we feel like this is the best way to do this."
"Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do the good times all over again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, life only goes around once, but never again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do the good times all over again. The good times all over again. But the memories will always linger on. Oh, sweet Lorraine, the memories will always linger on."
Very cool. I like that.
I probably spent more time with his song than I have with most other people's songs. To be honest, I was a little nervous taking it to him. I've been a singer and a songwriter for years, but I must admit this is the first time in probably 10 years I've actually been nervous giving someone a song that we have taken, because it meant so much to him, it meant so much to me.
I'm hoping you like it.
Yeah.
And once I said, it's not done yet, but I'm going to let you hear it, okay?
Yeah.
Tell me when you're ready.
Yeah, okay. "Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do all the good times over again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, life only goes around once, but never again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do all the good times over again. The good times, the good times, the good times all over again. The good times, the good times, the good times all over again. But the memories always linger on. Oh, sweet Lorraine, no, I don't want to move on. Oh, the memories always linger on. Oh, sweet Lorraine, that's why I wrote you this song. Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do all the good times over again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, life only goes around once, but never again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do all the good times over again. The good times, the good times, all the good times all over again." This is wonderful.
Good.
Just wonderful.
Good. I'm glad you like it. So glad you like it.
Just wonderful. That was a wonderful 75 years that I just often think that kind of unreal, dreaming or something, but it was real. That's all I can say, real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, really miss her. Just don't see him right. Yeah, just like a dream. Yeah.
"But the memories memories always linger on. Oh, sweet Lorraine, no, I don't want to move on. Oh, the memories always linger on. Oh, sweet Lorraine, that's why I wrote you this song.
Did that warm your hearts a little bit? I did that purposefully to pummel and tenderize your hearts. I cried driving down the freeway just listening to it, not even watching the video, just hearing it on the radio. And then when I stopped and parked, pulled over and I watched it, then I cried some more. And then I thought, I got to clean up my act because I'm on my way to work. You know, I can't go to work like this. I'm a wreck. It so touched my heart. You know, I don't know what to say about it. It speaks for itself. It was really heartwarming. At any rate, I want to share a couple things from Scripture. I'm not going to go long, but I wanted to ask us some questions that I've been asking myself, and we talked about it this week in home group, and I actually am getting high tech. I've got notes on this iPhone that I need to refer to. Yeah, it would have been a mess. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, in my Bible, I've got an NIV version, and it starts with the title or heading of this little section. It says, pressing on toward the goal. Now, what does that mean? Pressing on toward the goal. That means you have to have a goal. We have to have a goal that you're pressing on toward. It reads like this, not that I have already obtained all this. And this is Paul speaking, who'd been around a while, who had started a few churches, who had influenced people's lives, who was kind of the architect of God in moving the church forward. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that. Okay, let's stop right there. What is that for you? How would you define that in your life? What did God take hold of you for? That. What is that? Only you can answer. Only you can answer. It's an individual question to each one of us. What did he take hold of me for? What is that about? Take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Okay, he's taken hold of each one of us for a purpose, for a plan, for a goal. He's got us heading somewhere individually and corporately. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Come on now, this is Paul. You think he'd be a little bit further along? I mean, here he is, he's well into his life, the ministry God has given him, and yet he's still pressing on. And the reason I'm asking myself these questions is, am I pressing on? Am I pursuing him? Is his life changing my life? Or have I settled into a comfort zone where I know the language, the cliche, the prayers, the songs, the order of the books of the Bible, the Ten Commandments? Is that what it's all about? Or is there something more? What is that all about? But one thing I do, forgetting. Okay, stop. That's what we have to do, is forget. Because God's forgotten. Robert mentioned this a couple weeks ago. All the baggage in our past, good, bad, and ugly, we want to bring forward the good, the milestones. We don't really want to bring forth the baggage, but God has used all the baggage that we packed and carried around. He's using that to get us to the point where we are today to press on toward the goal. But he wants us to forget, because he's forgotten the sin, the poor choices, the mistakes, the bad ideas, the attitude, the actions, the inaction, the negligence, whatever it is. If he's forgotten, we have to forget. Drop the baggage, we're moving on, he's forgotten. So that's an action item for us. Forgetting what is behind and straining. How do you strain? Strain toward what is ahead. What does that mean? That doesn't sound like a fun word. Does that mean it's difficult? Does that mean it's challenging? Does that mean it hurts? Does that mean it's like out of our grip, beyond our reach, not understandable, reaching for? It's going beyond where we're at, straining towards. It's worth going after, anything worth going after. And I heard this from Prophet Gary Urban, and I've said it 100 times, a year from now, it's going to be a year from now. So where are we going to be a year from now? It starts today. It was a year ago that this whole church idea came into play, because Kevin's upstairs in his office and people are walking through the building thinking, oh, you're one of the renters here. That's great. Well, once we buy the building, maybe you'd like to rent it from us. And Kevin was offended, and he went to the landlord and said, what's going on? All along, since we've been here for 25 years, our understanding was we had first right of refusal, meaning if you're going to sell this place, you have to give us the option to take a look at it if we want to be the first ones to buy it. So what is going on? So Kevin and the landlord had a conversation, and it went well, and they said, well, no, you guys can take a shot at it. Well, that was a year ago. A year from now, it's going to be a year from now. A year from now, we'll have been in a building we've owned a year long. But that would have never happened if a year ago we hadn't started the process. So what that speaks to me in pursuing God, where are you going to be? Where am I going to be? Where are we going to be in our relationship with the Lord a year from now? Through the difficulties, hardships, straining, longing, praying, wanting, watching, looking, chasing. It's a pursuit. It's an ongoing pursuit, a day at a time. It's one day at a time. We pursue the Lord. Okay, a couple questions. In God's economy, has he given you a goal? Personal question. Has God given you a goal? I would think so. Because Paul's pressing on toward a goal that was given him by God. I think he's done that for each one of us. He's put a goal out in front of us to pursue. What goal is that? What goal do you have? Could you write it down in 25 words or less? I think you could. I think we really could if we stopped to think, what is God's goal for me in my life today? Because I think the goal changes over a lifetime. It's a transition. It's seasonal. It's like now, Shay, focus on this. Now, Shay, I want to plug you into that. And it's being able to listen and hear what God's saying to continue pursuing him, to press on toward the goal. There is a goal. Rachel, next July, going on an 11-month around-the-world trip to 11 different countries to do who knows what. Do you know what? But the that in your life is you signed up for giving your life next year for 11 months. That's not an easy thing to do. 11 months, 11 weeks, 11 days, 11 minutes. That's a big deal. Now, I can see it clear as day. That is your that. That's what it is for you. And how did you know that? You were pressing on toward the goal to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of you. Now, a year ago, you didn't know you were going to be being faced with that. But you know now, and you've made the decision, and it's as good as gone, but you have things to do, preparation to make, finances to raise, people to connect with, new friendships, new people, a little bit of travel. That's pretty big. It's a pretty big that. Another question, how are you preparing for your goal, for his goal in your life? How are you preparing for that? What is it that you're doing? Well, I know what Rachel's doing. She's contacting people. She's letting people know what she's doing. She's going to be raising some money just to get some support. She's going to be asking for prayer. She's going to be connecting with people across the nation who she's never met. She's going to become part of a team that she may very well be the leader of. Who knows? But that's what's going on. So the question, how are you preparing for your goal? What is that goal about? Where is he sending you? What's he want to do with your life? How does he want to guide and direct you? What has he done already? Just look back. A year ago, Sean and Bob, where were you a year ago? You're here now, and you've brought so much to this community. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a gift to us. So time counts, and today counts in eternity. So identify what that goal is that you're pursuing, that he's put in your heart. It's specifically and personally for you. It's not for me. I'm not going to do it like Steve does it, or Gary does it, or Jim does it, but it's kind of a stamped on my heart pursuit of him. Here's how I walk it out. Here's how we do it. One thing I came to in asking myself these questions that I'm asking us, for me, a key part of this was preparation. To me, that's a big word for my life, that whatever I'm going to do worth anything in eternity is preparing my heart today for whatever that may be a year from now. I don't know where I'll be a year from now, or a week from now, or a day from now, but preparation to me is key. What does that mean? How do you prepare? You draw close to him, you read his word, and then you read his word some more, and then you pray, and then you consult, and then you can talk, and then you share thoughts, you share misunderstandings, you ask each other questions, you say, here's where I need help, you get humbled if you don't humble yourself. So there's a process that we can take in the pursuit of the goal of that which he's called you for. I have to go techie now. Okay, now if anybody has a thought or comment or scripture, you can say it. You can throw it into the mix here, because I feel kind of home groupy in this setting. But this is what happened at our home group this week. This is what we were talking about. And Cindy Williams had gotten an email, and she says, I just want to share this in light of what we were talking about as a group this week. And it was called the All In Manifesto by a gentleman named Matt Batterson. It's about 20 or 30 one-liners, this manifesto, and I'm just going to read them to you slowly, a line at a time, and I'm sure they're going to hit home to some of us, most of us. He started out by saying, quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Set God-sized goals. Pursue God-ordained passions. What passion has he put in your heart that isn't super spiritual? Like learning to play the guitar, like learning another language, like making friends with the neighbors who you don't know and could care less about. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. Do something that you can't do on your own. If God isn't in it, it ain't going to happen. But that's worth pursuing, because it takes the responsibility off our shoulders and puts it on his, and we just follow suit. We do what he's saying to do, and win, fail, or draw, it doesn't matter. Because it's his call. It's his leading. It's his goal. We're not going to be at fault if it doesn't happen. It's just get out there and try. Get out there and do something. Keep asking questions. Keep making mistakes. Keep seeking God. Stop pointing out problems and become part of the solution. Stop repeating the past and start creating the future. Forget what lies behind. Expand your horizons. Accumulate experiences. Enjoy the journey. Find every excuse you can to celebrate everything you can. Live like today is the first day and last day of your life. This one I like the most. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. That speaks to me. If I've got a bad attitude, had a bad day, I'm not getting along, Shay and I are arguing, something isn't right with one of the kids, why let that become a blockade or a barrier to my relationship with Him? It's meant to drive us into Him because we need grace to extend grace. We need mercy to extend mercy. When it isn't there, it's hard to just drum it up, but He's got it to give if we pursue Him. He'll give it to us. It's up to Him. Burn sinful bridges, but blaze new trails. Don't let fear dictate your decisions. Take a flying leap of faith. Quit holding out and quit holding back. Push all of your chips into the middle of the table. It's time to ante up all of your faith. It's time to go all in, and it's time to go all out. That's pretty well put together, isn't it? Really makes you think. In light of all this, I think pressing on, the question is, what does that look like in your life? It's personal. But how you work that out actually affects people in this room. What you do or don't do, it's kind of like a pebble in the water and the ripples. It's hard to see that what Will does today is going to affect my life. But it's preparation for a year from now. Or what Joe and Adam all of us. There is because of relationships and community that God has put us together, things we do count, and it makes a difference in other people's lives. And it's so hard to see in the distance how important today is, how important relationships are. But let's stop right now. Let's look back a year. Have you made any new friends in a year? I think so. Have you had any new encounters? If you think about it, yeah. Any new experiences? Things you've never done that you tried to do? Relationships that got reconciled? Letters or emails that got written? Unintentionally, but intentionally in God's eyes? Families that gaps were bridged? Sins were forgotten? Mistakes were let go? Being misunderstood and just saying that's okay. I'm not going to give up this relationship because they misunderstood my point of view or my action. Look back over the last year. Travel, entertainment, hosting, making milestone events out of something small to make somebody else big, celebrating a birthday, planning a meal. That's what I think of in preparation. The joy is in the preparing. It's like the wedding day. Is anybody in here married? Did anybody ever go to a wedding? Well, Donna knows. She will spend months and months creating, designing, crafting, thinking, decorating, purchasing, putting together for that moment. And there's so much invested in that one moment. And if we look at today, it's a great investment today for what's coming down the road. The journey and the joys and the preparation. It's so much fun. It's so exciting in God to do something when you feel like you're co-laboring with Him for someone else. But then we get the joy. We get blessed by it. And we're just following the goal that He's given us. I want you to do, fill in the line, that. Bless your neighbor. Have them over for dinner. Pick up the phone and make a call. Let's go for a walk. Let's talk. Let's share a book. It's eternal. God's got so many creative ideas and things He can come up with to put in our lives to project us or propel us or to push us or compel us out beyond ourselves and our limitations and our ideas to His ideas and what that is all about for you, for us, for your relationship with Him. It's huge. It's huge. Okay, let me go back to this. Pressing on toward the goal. If you will, this next week, when you're reading, Tony, when you're pressing on and pursuing, I can say that because I have a relationship with them. But if we, this week, if we try to identify that goal, and if you read Scripture with your eyes open to what that goal is, Scripture becomes alive. It expands. You see others walking out and playing out their part in their role that God has given them in that place to do what He wants for a year from now, to make a difference a year from now. So read Scripture this week with your goal in mind, your personal goal, and believe you me, He will show it to you, and then it will expand. He's not going to give you the end of the journey. He's just going to give you the starting line and an idea how fast this race is going to be and how important this race is going to be. But start this week with looking for the goal, and I promise you, you'll find it. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to you that you purposefully, intentionally, personally, from before time, had each one of us in your mind with a goal that would please you, that would touch your heart, that would touch others' hearts, that would influence others eternally. Lord, we ask that you would use us today and this week. Show us the goal. Show us our part. Help us line up with your thoughts and your ideas. And our ambition this week is to please you in everything we do. In your name we pray. Amen.